1 Corinthians 13, talking about love. And now I'll show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but haven't love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It doesn't envy. It doesn't boast. It's not proud. It's not rude. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection, as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love.
So we're going to watch a brief video, hopefully. Didn't go quite to plan, but there we go. But the famous gongs of Big Ben there, for those of you who didn't quite catch that. And so you might have seen in the media recently, in fact, there's been quite a big uproar, because Big Ben is going under maintenance, the whole St. Stephen's Tower, but I think it's now called Queen Elizabeth Tower, isn't it, I think. It's now under, they're putting scaffolding up and they're doing a lot of maintenance work on it. So they've silenced the bells, and it's been, so in the media a few days ago, there's this big fuss about how dare they silence the bells of Big Ben? Now, what are they? They're just bells. They're bells on the clock, and what the bells on the clock do, what's the point of them? They tell the time. But the reason people got upset wasn't because they weren't going to know what the time was anymore. It was because they had a greater meaning than just a bong. It's a symbol of our nation. It's something which is resonant about our culture. It's something that we all recognize. It's all familiar because it's something that's so part of who we are. And so the reason people got upset about it wasn't because it was just a gong that stopped gonging. It's because it's something about our very national identity. And we come to Corinthians now, and we hear this passage on love, which you've probably heard preached many times at weddings, maybe at funerals. I've preached it loads of times, and this morning I'm going to give you a really simple message, hopefully. This passage that Paul writes, he's writing to the Corinthian church, and so the Corinthian church have been going through some pretty tough times. Things aren't going particularly well, and they've written to Paul, who's his apostle, saying, "We've got some problems, can you tell us the answers?" So Paul writes back, and 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians are his answers to two lots of questionings by this particular church. And so what's going on in the Corinth church is lots of issues have arisen. And there's lots of rivalries, there's lots of things going on where people think they're better than other people, and there's a passage in chapter 3 where it talks about how some people are going, "Well, I'm an apostle, well, I follow Paul," and other people go, "Well, I follow Apollos, and so I'm better than you." And you see that statement, you go, "Well, I go to this church, or I go to that church, or I go to Soul Survivor, or I go to Spring Harvest, or I go to this." And there's kind of this rivalry that grows up around kind of like in this Christian church. And Paul's not writing to them saying, you need to get back to what's the core. And through all of his kind of expressions in 1 Corinthians, he gets this passage in 1 Corinthians, chapter 13, which is kind of pivotal to everything he says, which is, Father, everything is pointless unless it's done with the heart of love. In the same way that Big Ben's chimes are just a clock donging, The reason it has importance is because it has a greater meaning. And he's saying that all the things that you do only have a greater meaning if it's done out of love. It's about the relationship that you have with each other. It's about the relationship you have with God. And over this series, over the summer, we've been looking at love and building healthy relationships. And we've talked about our relationship with God. We've talked about our relationship with other people. We've talked about forgiveness. We've talked about what words we use. As we come to the end, just saying it's all about love. The Christian life begins there. That's what it's all about. And so it struck me a few weeks ago when I was thinking about this passage was the fact that he says it's just a resounding gong without love. Imagine what that gong means then if it did have love. Imagine the impact it would have if love was behind it. If you can have faith that moves mountains but not have love, it means nothing. Well, imagine if you can move mountains and it had love. What would it then mean? What's the implication then if we apply love into every situation? You see, for Jesus, the value of our gifts is measured by the amount of love that we have that is behind what we do. This passage is sandwiched between a passage on gifts of the Spirit and different roles in the church, and then proper use of those gifts. And in the middle of that is this passage on love, which we often then take out for weddings and go, oh, that's a lovely passage about love. And we forget that actually he's saying, in the midst of the context of the life of the church, that it's not about what you do, it's about why you do it. And if it's not done with love, there is no point to what you do. And so Jesus only looks really at what's behind what we do. If you look in Matthew 7, verse 21, there's a story where Jesus says, not all those that cry, Lord, Lord, on the day of judgment will be saved. And you'll say that you prophesied in my name, that you cast out demons in my name, and I will say, depart from me, because I never knew you. And you read that and you think, oh my life, that's a bit scary. But what he's saying in that passage is, you can do all this stuff, but if it's not based upon relationship, which ultimately is founded in love, it's pointless. You can do all this stuff, but it's not based in love. Why are you doing it? That it hasn't got a value to it that God understands. It doesn't have a value to it that God reads, that God takes as a currency. The currency of heaven is love. So why do you do what you do? Why do you do what you do? Why do you serve in church in the way you do? Why do you do what you do at work? Why do you do what you do in your family? Why do you do what you do with your neighbours? Is it because you always have to? Is it because you always have? Is it because you think you're the best at it, and if someone else does it, it won't be quite as good? Is it out of guilt that we serve and do things? Is it just because we do? Is it to be helpful? Is it because we're just bored and want something to do? Or is it because you long for the body of Christ to be built up? Is it because you long to share the radical love of Jesus in all of your life? Why do you do what you do? Because it's so easy, isn't it, to get just caught into a habit of, I just do this, and I just serve there, and I just do this, that, and the other. But if it hasn't got love behind it, what you're doing is pointless. Utterly pointless. So you've got to capture a bigger vision of what God's family is about. What Paul is saying here in Corinthians is he's saying, it's about love, guys. It's not about, well, I do this, or I do that. And people in the Corinthian church were trying to be, look at me, I can prophesy. Well, I can speak in tongues. Well, I can heal the sick. And spiritual gifts became elevated to a point of that was the measure of your spiritual maturity. If only I could do that. If only I knew more scripture. If I only could just was a better person in this way. And basically what Paul's getting back to is saying, all of this is pointless if you haven't got love. And so what God measures in our life is our expression of love. Are we growing in love? How mature are we in love? Because if we're not mature in love, then what's the point? So for those of you sitting here this morning thinking, oh, I wish I was one of those people who knew more. If only I could do this, then I would be able to serve there, or I'd be able to do that, or I could never do what they do. And we try and make judgments between each other based upon what we can, what we can't do, what they can do, what I can't do. And the thing that binds us together is actually we're all levelled in love. You can stand at the front and preach, but if I haven't got love, it's just pointless. And you know what? There's some weeks when I preach, And I think, that's a brilliant sermon. It's great. I've got all these points. It's fantastic. I've looked at the Hebrew. I've looked at the Greek. I've done all this stuff. But you know what? My heart's not in it. And it's a good talk. But it doesn't have any effect. Because there's some weeks when I just don't feel it. And that's my heart going wrong there. That's my issue between me and God. But equally for you, there's probably times when you're serving and you just end up doing it and you think, oh gosh, why am I doing this? And we miss the bigger picture that why we're doing it is for Jesus. We're doing it out of love. We're doing it for the building up of the church, or the building up of our community, or the building up of our world. We're doing it for the love of God. It's for a bigger purpose. It's for a bigger reason. And I think for so many of us, we've just lost our way and we're just doing stuff because we've always done it. We're doing stuff because it has to be done. And I actually think God this morning just wants to say, be refreshed in love. Be refreshed in love. And see how that changes everything. So love is critical because it's how God sees our maturity in what we're doing. And in Corinthians 13, it just says, you know, we can look at, so what is love then? I'm just going to read it. It's very simple this morning. It's this. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It's not proud. It's not rude. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. It always perseveres. Those are the things that love is. So when we're doing things for Jesus, are we patient enough? Are we too proud? Do we have a boast in a way that we maybe need to think about? Are we rude to people who we're serving? Are we forgiving in this place? Are we being kind? Are we putting other people first, not being self-seeking about what we need from something, but actually looking at what other people might need? Are we looking for where the truth of something is? It's really simple. But it's so easy to become complacent in what we do, forget that it's about love, and then we end up being less patient, less kind, become more rude, become more boasting, become more judgmental, become more frustrated by everything. And then if you read Corinthians 13 against Galatians chapter 5 and the fruits of the Spirit, which we'll read now. So in verse 22, in chapter 5 of Galatians. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. But it's saying the fruits of the Spirit basically are what 1 Corinthians says is what love looks like. So basically the fruit of the Spirit is love, as expressed in joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, kindness, faithfulness, self-control. I've heard those several about twice. This goes on. But when you read 1 Corinthians 13, you see that it's the fruits of the Spirit are similar to what love looks like. And so here's what I used to misunderstand. People used to say to me, Pete, because I come from a charismatic background, all up for the gifts of the Spirit, where people are hanging off the chandeliers, and I love it. People used to say to me, but how do we guard in the church, make sure things don't go a bit crazy? And I used to say, well, you have to look at the gifts of the Spirit and look at what the fruit is. If the fruit is love, then it's positive. That's how we judge it. But you know what? I've got that around the wrong way. Because what I've realized is the fact that you can only have power in the gifts of the Spirit if you are rich in the fruit of the Spirit. I used to think that the fruits came from the gifts, and I realized that no. It is the fruits that empower the gift. Because Paul says, if you can do all this stuff, but you haven't got love, which basically is the ultimate fruit of the Spirit, then it's absolutely pointless. And so when we're looking over this series, we've been talking about this word compassion that Jesus has. About how when Jesus is moved with compassion, it leads him to share the gospel. It leads him to feed the 5,000. It leads him to heal the sick. It leads him to raise the dead. We're seeing there's this emotional connection of there's a relational aspect to what we do. That he has the fruit of the Spirit of love, and when he's meted by a situation and circumstance which doesn't meet that criteria, he's frustrated by that. And compassion grows in him, and he pours out his love as an expression of, I will heal, I will prophesy, I will share the good news of the gospel. And so the fruit of the Spirit's outpouring is the gifts of the Spirit. And that's how we guard, making sure that the gifts of the Spirit are in line with God's will, is because they are rooted and founded in the fruit of the Spirit. And that's where so often I think the church has gone wrong. And what the Corinthian church had done was they became so obsessed with the gifts of the Spirit, about prophecy, about words of knowledge, about people speaking in tongues, which are all really good things, that Paul goes on to say, these things are great. Desire spiritual gifts. This is the next line after Corinthians chapter 13. He says, desire spiritual gifts out of the place of love. So the reason I want to prophesy is because I love you and I want to share something of God's word with you. The reason I want to share a word of knowledge with you is because I want you to feel the encouragement of God. It's a relational thing of I want it to be this for you. The reason why I pray for healing for people is because I long for them to be healed, because I want to experience the love of God. When it's just, I want to be able to heal so that I look great, that's where it goes wrong. And you can do it still. The name of Jesus is powerful. There's stories in Acts where there's people who are casting out demons in the name of Jesus, and the disciples turn around and go, there's people who are casting out demons in the name of Jesus. And they're like, just leave it. Anything that's not against us is for us. But if you want to really grow in the gifts of the Spirit, which Paul says, eagerly desire. If you fancy it, eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, then you've got to grow in love. And it comes out of a place of longing to serve and build up the body of Christ. Well, that's why we have gifts. That's why we use gifts, to build up the body of Christ. But it comes from the fruit of the Spirit. So if you want to have more power in your life and do what Jesus did, you have to have the love of Jesus in our life. And that love is the Holy Spirit. And the more we engage with the Holy Spirit, the more our love will increase and the more our love will flow. So we judge each other not by what we can do. We judge it against how much love is in our life. And we seek to encourage love to grow in each other. That's the purpose of the church, to increase love in our lives. And then this passage goes on to say, love never fails. Or in other translations it says, love doesn't have an end. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When as children I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see as a poor reflection in a mirror. When we were then, we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, and then I shall know fully, even though I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. In Corinth, they used to make mirrors. And they were renowned for making mirrors. And they used to polish metal to a really, really fine shine. But in those days, you didn't get mirrors like we have today. Those mirrors would still have a blemish to them. If you polish metal, no matter how polished it gets, it's still really hard to get that full reflective surface that we are used to when we wake up in the mornings and look in the mirror. So when Paul says, we see at the moment, it's like looking in a reflection dimly. He was speaking to the Corinth culture of saying, you know how you have a mirror and there's always a blemish on it? It's never quite perfect. Because gifts of the Spirit are like that. That when we use gifts of the Spirit, they are only a temporary thing. There is a picture of what God's going to do. And so in heaven, there is no need for healing. In heaven, there's no need for prophecy. In heaven, there's no need for tongues. In heaven, there's no need for any of these gifts. Because in heaven, Christ is there and everything is as it should be. So what he's saying is that gifts of the Spirit are to be used to point us to, this is just a reflection of what heaven's like. That why do we prophesy? Because in heaven, we will know all. In heaven, we will have the wisdom of God before us. Why do we seek to pray for healing for people? Because in heaven, everything will be right and there will be no sickness. So he's saying gifts of the Spirit are something that only are a partial reflection of the fullness of what God is like. And so the reason he's saying do it all in love, he's saying because those things will end. But what remains, what is eternal, is love. If God is love in himself or herself, we had that conversation a few weeks ago, that in the relationship of the three persons of the Trinity, there is love. And out of love, creation comes, which is what we are there. We come out of his creation, or out of her creation, or out of its creation. That love is eternal. So when you do something in love, it has an eternal value to it. See, so when God looks at us and when we at Judgment Day, he won't go, "Well, you did a lot of prophecy." He'll go, "Wow, how much did you love? Wasn't it amazing when you used love as a way of sharing my gifts with people around you? Wasn't it amazing when there was that person who couldn't walk and you prayed for them because you loved them so much that you longed for them to get up and walk?" That's what Jesus will see. That's what he's talking about in Matthew 7, where he says, "Some of you, I'll just say, depart, I never knew you." Because it wasn't based in a relationship. It wasn't based out of a longing desire of love. And everything we do has to be done out of a sense of relationship, wanting to build relationship, wanting to connect people into your relationship between them and God. So that's why when we do things in love, it has an eternal value. If you want what you do to have more of an eternal impact, do it out of the heartbeat of love. So for those of us who are serving, whether that be in work, whether that be in church, whether that be in our families, whether that be with our community, whatever that is, why are you doing it? Why are you doing it? Is it just a loud cymbal or a resounding gong but hasn't got love? Or actually is love behind it and therefore it has an impact that not only makes an impact right now but into the whole of eternity? Some of us have lost the heartbeat of love in what we're doing. And maybe it's because what you're doing isn't the right thing to be doing right now. Maybe God's got a new love for you. But for a lot of us, it's just, we just do, and we do, and we do, and we do, and we become a resounding gong rather than something which resounds the song of heaven. Do you know what they used to do in the pagan temples? They used to bang gongs or clash cymbals in order to wake God up, to wake the gods up in the temple. So what Paul's saying is, you can do all this stuff, all this apparently holy stuff, thinking it's going to get God's attention. And he says, it won't. It's just empty. It's like a pagan temple. It's empty of God. So love is the heartbeat behind everything. So as we've been looking over this series, it's all about love. It's all about the fruit of the Spirit. It's all about our actions and our words being loving, in line with who Jesus is. And I'm just going to read it one more time and just read Jesus into it. Jesus is patient. Jesus is kind. Jesus does not envy. He does not boast. He is not proud. He is not rude. He is not self-seeking. He is not easily angered. He keeps no record of wrongs. Jesus does not delight in evil, but he rejoices with the truth. He always protects. He always trusts. He always hopes. He always perseveres. Jesus never fails. If we are to be followers of Jesus, people in his way, that's how Jesus lives. That's how we're called to live. And when we do that, a clanging cymbal becomes part of the melody of heaven. A resounding gong becomes part of heaven's song. So we're going to I'm going to ask the band to come back up. What we're going to do is just going to wait in God's presence for a little moment or two. And just ask God to refresh the love in you for what you do, for how you serve, for what you're doing. Think about, why are you doing what you're doing? Are you on the welcome team just because someone needs to be on the welcome team? Are you serving at welcome centre just because there needs to be people at welcome centre? Are you just serving in Boys Brigade or Girls Brigade just because there needs to be a pair of hands there? Are you serving on the sound desk or the visuals or whatever you're doing just because it's a gap that needs to be filled? Change our attitude and say, actually, what if I did this out of an opportunity to say, I want to love my church. I want to love these people. I want the people to connect with God. The greatest commandments are love God, love people. That's the foundation for everything else to flow. It is the fruit that gives power to the gifts. Ask God to refresh you in his love right now. Let's pray. Father God, just refresh us in your love. Remind us of what it is. Look, God, we don't want to be clanging cymbals or resounding gongs that have no purpose, that have no meaning behind them. But we want to have love behind it, the foundation that is eternal, that means that every action based in love is something that echoes in heaven. So Lord, refresh our hearts. Forgive us where we've become complacent. Forgive us where we've missed the point of what we're doing. And Father God, just restore that desire of love, to love you in what we do, with our words and our actions, but also to love others and to be the building up of your church, the building up of our community, and the building up of our world. Come, Holy Spirit, refresh us in your love, we pray. Lord God, help us slow down to hear the heartbeat of you, so that we get into sync with you, so that all that we do is in your love, that all that we do comes from your heart. That there's not be a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Let us be a beautiful noise, a beautiful song for you, joining in with heaven. Lord Jesus, refresh us, I pray. Let your Spirit refresh our hearts, refresh our minds. Because what is eternal is love, and that lasts forever. Because you are love. Just feel like God's saying that there's people here who you understand grace, but you don't understand love. That you've come to faith, you're walking in faith, you're walking in the victory of Christ, but you haven't experienced God's love in your life. Just invite God to show his love to you afresh. It's a relationship. Your ability to serve God is not based upon your gifts, your skills, your talents. It's not based upon how much Bible you know. If you want to be used by God, it's about how much you let him love you. The more you let him love you, the more he'll release you into the things for him. And if you're here this morning and you feel very capable, very able, very gifted, very talented, very skilled, it's easy then to forget that we need God's love in our life. Love does not boast. It's not proud. So Lord Jesus, refresh us, I pray, both now and into this coming week. Amen.